Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC football.
Let's go. What's up, guys, and welcome into our ACC prospect series. I'm jacked up for this one. This is going to be such a fun series of interviews, conversations that we have with ACC football players that are about to take that next step. And we're getting it kicked off with the Noles. You see the shirt, you know what time it is. And one of the fastest rising prospects in this year's draft, Braden Fisk. This guy lit the combine on fire. I mean, he's got a trail of smoke coming behind him as he runs a 4.7 40-yard dash, led all defensive tackles. I mean, absolute freak show, the things that he did up in Indianapolis. And it shouldn't be a surprise, right? We saw the athleticism all year long. This guy was just freaky, the things that he did on the field. And I really enjoyed this conversation because we go through this whole story on how the heck nobody picked him up way back in the day. And he ends up at Western Michigan. Shout out to Coach Spo up there, defensive coordinator. Then transferring, finding Florida State, moving on to the next level. And of course, what he's done recently in the NFL draft prep with the combine, Senior Bowl, things of that nature. So I love this conversation. I love this dude. I think he's going to make some NFL franchise extremely happy. We'll talk more on some intangibles and measurables and things like that on the back end, but this guy's going to make a lot of money really soon, and he is locked in. I think you guys are going to be impressed with this interview. Real quick, a message from our friends over at Ingles, and then we'll get to the interview. Here we go.
Did you know Ingles only sells USDA Choice and Prime cuts of meat? Maybe it's time to reward yourself. Our butchers cut all our meat fresh in the store every day. Grass-fed, organic, you name it. Not only that, we'll even cut it to order just the way you like it. And we grind meat fresh in the store multiple times a day. It's all in the bag. That's the best meat in town for the best folks in town. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Braden Fisk, my man, great to see you, brother. I've been waiting on this interview, been very excited to get to talk to you. You are coming off an unbelievable NFL combine run, arguably one of the best in a very long time. I know that has to feel good. How you doing?
Like I said, I can't complain. I mean, things are going maybe somewhat I was expecting, maybe a little bit more exceeding expectations. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of trying to vet the process and just, you know, give everything I got, try to, you know, make the most out of the draft process. I mean, kind of when I, you know, set forth for this in January, you know, I got, you know, these 2 months, 2.5 months, whatever it is, to, you know, really dial in, you know, make the most out of this opportunity. And it's kind of worked out for the best so far. And, you know, I can't complain, man. It's been great.
That's right. Well, you're checking off all kinds of boxes, man. And, you know, really where I want to start this, I've been thinking a couple of different ways. I want to go way back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was, in recruiting. How the hell did all these people miss? I mean, no disrespect to anybody, okay?
Right,
you know,
right.
And you had a great career and all these great things, but, I mean, come on. What the heck happened? Late bloomer or what was the deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think somewhat of a late bloomer. I mean, it kind of – so the funny thing was I was an offensive lineman in high school. My high school coach wasn't a big believer in a two-way player, and you know, the best situation for our team was for me to play offensive line, but – you know, the problem was I was a 6'3", 240-pound offensive lineman. So, you know, how do you recruit that? And, I mean, it was tough. And I mean, I probably went to like 20, 30, 40 of those, you know, one-day camps at colleges trying to just get anything, you know, get any offer, get any look. And you know, I'd get a ton of the, oh, you know, you look good, you know, just keep working. I'm just like, well, damn, dude, all right. You know, been, hey, we're moving. But luckily, you know, one of the last camps I went to in the summer of 2017, right before my senior year, Western Michigan, they came through. And Coach Esposito, my D coordinator, he saw enough in me. He offered me, and then they offered me on a Monday. I accepted that following Friday. I knew, you know, the team that must like me the most. You know, they see something in me. I was, you know, I want to give it back too. And yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, I couldn't complain. I had a great time in Kalamazoo. I mean, I loved it up there. I mean, that's all I knew. But, you know, they raised me and they made me to, you know, what I am today. And luckily, I was able to kind of get the exposure I needed once I got to Florida State. But it was an awesome experience.
Yes, so you said an interesting thing there. First of all, Coach Spo, shout out. Love that guy. I think he's
awesome
at Memphis
dude.
Now,
yeah,
but awesome dude. Love that dude. He's one of the realest in the game there. So you played offensive line, though, but did he just see something? He's like, no, we're going to bring you over here, baby. What was that like, you know, playing offensive line your whole high school career to now playing in college, Division One, on the defensive line.
I mean, it was a big adjustment. And, you know, I think, you know, at that camp specifically, doing the one-on-one drills, I think, you know, I bounced me at O-line, bounced me over at D-line. And once I got to campus, it was like, hey, you're coming with us. And, I mean, he was a D coordinator, so he kind of had to say it. Like, no, we're going to take this kid. And, you know, at first I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew was how to play hard, you know, just run to the ball, just play with effort. And, I mean, I started off shooting my hands like this, you know, the chicken wings. And just, so there was a lot of building blocks, you know, what shaped my game. And, I mean, Coach Espo played a big part in that. And, you know, just kept on, you know, grinding the little details, and it was just, yeah. I mean, it turned out great, but yeah, definitely a big adjustment playing at that speed.
How about that? I mean, that's a fascinating story. So when, at what point, if it's a year or whatever, did you feel like, okay, you know, I'm pretty good, you know, at this defensive line stuff?
I mean, I always knew I had it in me. I always knew I had the potential to be really good, but once the year really clicked was 2021, when I was like, so to speak, breakout season of, you know, okay, now you're out there making plays. You feel confident in what you're doing out there, and not really, you're not freelancing out there, but you're starting to see things. You know, you're starting to read things differently. Like, your preparation is a little bit better. That's when things really started to change. And, you know, each year after that, I was able to kind of just grow on those little things. You know, I was big on following guys that were ahead of me, like that, like D. Eskridge, AJ Thomas, you know, Wes French, guys that were going to the NFL. You would take little parts of their game, like the technique that they would play with, and just kind of built into my game, especially the regimen around, you know, the building of, you know, things to do after practice. You know, you have your mandatory stuff, but what are you going to do after that? And that's what really shaped my game and changed everything for me. But
and that just feels like that's what separates people, right? Like, how much work are you willing to put in that, you know, so much is required, you know, to really take that next step. When did you guys play Pittsburgh when you beat them? Were you on that team?
Yeah, I was 2021. Yeah.
Okay. So that was the exact year. So I remember watching that and I'm like, who is this guy? Like, this dude is terrorizing Kenny Pickett, terrorizing Pitt. And I just remember being like, yo, okay, I don't know what's about to happen, but check this guy out. And then fast forward, you know, you decide to get in the portal, which, you know, I think different people have different opinions, right? Like, there's a lot of good things about the transfer portal. And I think this is it. So how did you come to that situation? How did you come to that, you know, kind of thought process that, hey, I need to get in this thing and maybe take another step somewhere else?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty interesting because, you know, coming up to the end of 2022 year, you know, I was kind of like, you know, am I going to go to the draft? Am I going to stay another year? And ultimately I had to get my shoulder worked on. So the best scenario was, all right, you know, I'm going to stay at Western Michigan. It was the comfortable decision. It was, you know what, like this, I feel the best. This training staff knows me, coaching staff, all that. Then 3 days later, my head coach gets fired. And it was like, well, all right. And, you know, I talk about a lot that, you know, when a head coach gets fired, it's a mad scramble. You know, everyone's kind of trying to save themselves. You know, everyone's trying to figure out their next moves. And, you know, luckily I had the right people in my corner to say, you know what, just try, you know, see what the portal has to offer for you. And, you know, I didn't really know much about the portal because I had only heard the horror stories, you know, guys hopping in, not getting any calls because, you know, I'm in the group of five. So most guys, power five, either drop a level or whatever, just for whatever the reason may be. So all I knew was, all right, this could get ugly, whatever. We'll just check it out though. And, you know, sure enough, you know, I hop in and my phone doesn't stop ringing. And I mean, it was probably 2-3 weeks. I was about done with the pride. I didn't want to deal with it anymore. This is terrible. I mean, I can't believe, you know, 18, 19 year old kids go, or 17, 18 year old kids go through that process for, you know, a year, 2 years. That's unbelievable. So,
right.
But yeah, it was crazy. And I mean, it worked out for the best though.
Yeah, no question. Well, I think what you just said there is fascinating because isn't it interesting just to put life into perspective that when you were probably 17, 18 year old, you were begging for it. And you're like, please, anybody. And then come full circle, you're just like, all right, I don't want any of this. Like, this is crazy. It's insane, man, just to think about that and, you know, how, you know, that journey was laid out for you. You just had to go and get it. You just had to go and take it. So walk me through that a little bit. You don't have to tell me everything because it sounds like it was insane. But how did you end up at Florida State? You know, how did that happened with you and you felt comfortable that was the best situation for you?
So early on in the process, Coach Norvell, he was one of the first coaches to FaceTime me, and like that was kind of weird for me. I was getting a random FaceTime
from it was a cold call just out of nowhere, just
nowhere, and that's what most of them were, but most amazing. Of them were just phone calls, but this time it was a FaceTime. And like, you know, you're assuming it's a coach, so I'm like, all right, whatever, let's see what it is. And sure enough, you know, Mike Norvell sitting across the screen. And
hey, what'd you think, bro? What'd you think when you see old Mike over there?
I mean, he has such a, you know, like a 1,000-mile stare to him. I'm just like, oh, Mike Norvell, you don't really know what to expect with where the conversation right. going with him. But I mean, he's putting on the recruiting pitch, you know, like how that goes. But now, I mean, it was a great conversation then. And he's pushing it quick. He's like, hey, like we want to come up there. You know, we're gonna send Odell and Coach Fuller up there. And yeah, I think we probably had like 3 meetings up, you know, where I'm from before I even got down there. And I mean, it was a crazy process, but yeah, I mean, he came to my house probably like 2 weeks before I went on a visit there, and he's sitting in my kitchen. And, I mean, me and him, I talk about it all the time. I say this story all the time, but me and him have probably a staring contest for two and a half hours, just, you know, not unlocking eyes. And he's banging on my table. He's just, you know, in there, you know, hollering, just telling me, like, challenging me why I need to come to Florida State. And
yeah,
I could see the vision from that point on. I said, okay, like, this guy's different. This, you know, this staff is different. And once I got to get down to campus, you know, I got to see the vision of, wow, like, this is a place I want to be. And, you know, felt like the best fit for me, especially, you know, roster-wise, who they had coming back, what they were bringing in. I said, damn, like, this could be somewhere we could win some ball games. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. I love that guy so much. He's one of the best. And, you know, it's interesting, too. He is different for sure. It's one of those things where, like, you don't know a guy until you do, right? Like, until you see him, you're in person. And I had the privilege – this was probably 21. It was before you got there, to go to a practice, see that. And dude, he's one of the most energetic, most passionate, most excited people running around drill to drill. Yeah. And I'm just
that's
like,
every day.
Man.
Yeah.
That
does not
every
change.
Day. Like, every single how day. Does he do that? How does he do that? And what does that do to you as a player, inspiration wise, to just keep going?
I mean, I think that's what forces the culture. I mean, like, you have no choice but to be bought into that. I mean, because if he's bringing it every day, then the staff's bringing it every day. Even the support staff is bringing it every day. So it's kind of just like the trickle effect of everyone in that building. I mean, you name a staff member, I mean, they're bought into what the culture he's established. I mean, you know, weight room, training room, academics. I mean, you name it. People just, you know, buy it. Other sports teams around the building, I mean, because we share the building with a lot of the teams. I mean, even they get to see it. So, I mean, just the energy he brings, I mean, everyone feeds off that. And for me, it was great because, you know, that was the first time coming into a new program, being a part of something like that, and getting to see how a new head coach ran his building. And, you know, I loved it. I mean, I was bought in from the second I walked in. And I could just tell, like, yeah, like, you know, if he can do this, then we should all do it. And obviously it paid off. I mean, to see what he's built from year one to now, I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I can't imagine it's going to falter any bit now.
Right.
So,
right. That's just what he does. It's what he does. It's contagious, as you said. And it's just, if the top of the top is doing it, like you said, nobody has a choice. Like, get in line. Let's go. Let's go to work. And I think that's so much fun to see, man. Well, looking at it, was a great decision for you because you balled out. And I'll never forget being at ACC Media Day. And I didn't get to do the camp tour where I saw you guys in person, but I was talking with Derek Satterfield. And, you know, he's my guy. We go back and forth. We're talking trash. I'm talking crazy about Clemson. He's talking crazy about you guys. And he is asking me position versus position, like, who's better, who's going to win. And he gets to the D-line. I'm like, okay, bro, like, come on. It's Clemson. Like, that's what we do, right? Like, we produce guys to the NFL. He said, I don't know, man. I don't know. Jared Verse and, you know, Braden Fisk. I'm like, what? Come on, man. Like, what? And he said, just wait. Just wait till you see this guy. And again, I had seen you and I was excited about you, but I was talking crazy. And he said, this dude is going to make such an impact for our team. It's insane. And then you go and do it. I mean, what was that like where you come in and it's a little different because you're not some kid. You're not some 17-year-old kid. You're a grown man that has an initiative that's trying to go to the league. Hey, come on or get left behind. So what was that like when you got to Florida State, you get into training camp and things like that, and did you assert yourself right to the top? Did it take time? Like, what was that kind of like for you?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's one of the first things, you know, me and Coach Norvell talked about in our meetings. He was like, you know, what do you want out of this season? I told him, I said, I'm coming for everything. And I mean, like, you know, I say everything, I mean everything. And, you know, it was hard early on when I first got to campus because, you know, I'm walking around in a shoulder sling. Like, I'm fresh off of shoulder surgery, so – I mean, you know, as a player, like, you're in the training room more than you are in meetings and weight room and spring ball. So the first, like, 2-3 months, you know, I was there, I was kind of, you know, still waiting to get acclimated with everybody. Like, guys see me, but they're like, man, this guy's supposed to be this big-time transfer, and he can't, you know, he's walking around the sling. Like, is he even going to play? You know, the stories come out in these big programs, right? So whatever. So, you know, I kind of had to sit back in the shadows for a little bit. But, you know, from day one I got released, I mean, my first day being, like, back full goals in May. And, like, that's when I was like, all right, like, this is where I'm going to set the tone. And I think, you know, earning the respect early on was, you know, crucial because, you know, I'm a big respect guy. So, like, from the first workout, I was trying to establish myself, you know, I'm going to work the hardest here. And I think I earned the respect pretty quick from those guys. And once the pads came on, it was a no-brainer. I mean, like, I just that's where I thrive. And that's where I was like, all right, that's where I'm going to make a difference. But
yeah,
I think the coolest part was, you know, building relationships with especially younger guys, just showing them, like, this is a way you can do it, you know, of just because I have a pretty, in my own perspective, a good regimen of how I go about my day and how I take care of my body and, you know, how I attack workouts and practice and film and, you know, being able to, you know, spread that to young guys and even vets. I got to see, like, oh, wow, this guy does it differently. So, and I think I was able to impact the culture in some way. And, you know, that was something big for me because I was in my sixth year of college. So it was like, you know, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to show them, you know, this is a way to do it. I'm going to give back in some way. You know, they always talk about, you know, leave the place better than you found it. So, I mean, that was big for me, too. So all of that combined was a lot of fun.
No, I don't think there's any doubt, man, of your impact. And I know time was short, but it was big, right? And people looked up to you and the growth that was there and the way these coaches speak about you, man, it's tremendous. And I love the fact that you talk about when those pads come on. Listen, we can say a lot of stuff, but those pads are loud, baby, right? Like they set the tone quick. That's right. In the film, don't lie, eye in the sky, don't lie, all that. So I love that, man. That's fantastic. And really to put an exclamation point on, you know, kind of Florida State here and everything that you had talked about, had a great year, you know, making big time impact, the things you're able to do. But then we get to Charlotte, and you played like a man possessed. I mean, walk me through, because quite frankly, I don't know if we've seen a game quite like that from an interior deep, maybe an end, maybe an edge rusher type guy. But if I'm correct, 4 sacks, a lot of tackles for loss. I mean, you were living in the backfield. Walk me through that week. Like, did you just know? Did you know that was going to happen?
You know, I mean, I keep saying, you know, it was just the consistent. I mean, I had been waiting on that moment. Not even, I mean, I never knew that moment was going to happen, but it happened to come in, you know, the biggest game of my life. And I think it's just, you know, a testament to the consistency that I, you know, just brought to every day, not just to, you know, games, but to, you know, every day leading up to, you know, every game was at some point that wall is going to fall, you know, like, I've been waiting on those moments, and just sometimes that's the way the game falls. I mean, was there more urgency because of the situation we were in? Sure. Cause I mean, we're down to our third string quarterback and I mean, different, you know, things we got, the strategies we got to do on offense. So defense had to step up. And I mean, it's a lot easier when I'm playing next to a Jared Verse and a Josh Farmer and Pat Payton on the other side and Fabo, I mean, you name it. But I mean, yeah, just, there were some things I saw that game on film and just, I was able to attack it. And, you know, it's just little details that happen to come true in the best moments. And, you know, just when you get the opportunities, when the opportunities, you know, show, and you got to take advantage of them. And luckily I was in position to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does that feel like? Did it feel like you were playing a video game? Is it an out of body experience? Because I mean, you were thriving, dude, the plays that you were making, and you're getting up celebrating the ring celebration. Yeah. One of my favorites. I mean, what was that? What was that like?
Yeah. I mean, it was just the scene too. It was just surreal. And I mean, once I made that first play, that TFL, like the second play of the game, like it's like something clicked, man. I was like, you know, the X factor turned on. It was like a Madden, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, here we go. Like once you make a big play early in the game, you feel unstoppable. And luckily, it's crazy to look back at it just because, you know, how quickly it happened, and you know, you ride that high, then you got the next day, you know, you get that fall. But yeah, I mean, it was super special. I mean, I'll remember that the rest of my life.
You talk about that play. I will never forget. EJ Emanuel and I, you know, no legend, stood out there the whole game in the rain. We're watching every play. And that happens. And there's this picture. I'll have to find it. And I can send it to you if I find it. But I'm just like, uh-oh, of me and I watching this. I'm like, this ain't good. If he's doing that play too, look out. And then, of course, you go on to have that massive game, man. It was so much fun. You mentioned JV there. He's always spoke so highly of you the multiple times that we've had him on the show and spoken to him. What's that relationship like? Because he would tell us stories, man, about maybe there wasn't necessarily a play call that y'all just kind of look at each other and, all right, it's your turn. All right, it's my turn. What's that like? Because that's special, especially in such a condensed time that you were with each other.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. I think, you know, just the relationship we were able to build quick, just, you know, because we compete. And I think it's what made us so much better. I think we were both coming into that season at the tops of our games of like, oh, I'm better, whatever it may be. And then I told him earlier, I was like, listen, I'm going to make you so much better of a player just because I'm going to, you know, we're going to attack it. Like, we're going to get after it. And that's, like, the one thing that drove us, like, just competing. I mean, it didn't matter. It wasn't just on the field. I mean, on the field, we're, you know, whatever, running to the ball, doing sprints after practice. But in the film room, I'm not letting them watch an extra hour of film than me. Like, I'm not letting them be in the tub longer than me, whatever it may be. Like, we were just competing all the time. And I think it just created, like, this bond that even on the field, like, when we're watching film, like, hey, if we see this, like, just be ready for whatever we're going to counter with. Like, especially in the ACC game or the championship, it was like, hey, as soon as they kick out to here, come underneath on cover. Like, just to see the little things and just know he's going to be in his spot at the right time. And, yeah, like he said, I mean, it just became a thing where we look at each other and be like, all right, here we go. Like, hey, we see it. Like, we know it's coming. And, I mean, I was so blessed to play next to him. And, you know, I think he'd say the same just because of what we were able to do, accomplish, and just how much fun we had. That was the most fun, like, I think we ever had playing ball, especially coming from where we both did. I mean, he's at Albany and I was at Western Michigan, and for our stories to play out like they did that way, I mean, it was just super special.
Yeah, it really was. And it was fun. Like you said, it was fun to watch, unless you're a Louisville fan, I guess, then it probably wasn't too fun. but you know, that thing you mentioned about how, hey, just come inside and I'm gonna come outside. I mean, a lot of people think that that's a game, that's a called thing. That was just you guys feeling it, right? A lot instinct, of them. I'm sure some of them were. Yeah, that's insane. Like, is that practice? Is that film? Is it just trust? Like, how did y'all know to choreograph that? Because it's a thing of beauty when it's done correctly.
Yeah, I think it's just a combination of all of it. I mean, something you see in film, and then I think, you know, we saw it early on in a few games this season. And, like, something would hit early on, and then we get to the sideline and go, hey, like, let's look for this. And, you know, if we see it again, like, we're going to start attacking it. And, you know, and it was, I mean, end tackle stunts, tackle end stunts. And we would just try to pick apart whatever they're going to give us. And, I mean, we knew more times than not we're going to get the slide to us. So it was like, all right, how are we going to play this? Like, we had, like, just rushing straight upfield isn't always going to win this if they're going to send 3-4 our way. So, I mean, just finding ways to pick it apart and, you know, get them on different levels. And I think it was a testament to just how we both attacked each day. And I think we put a lot of work into our craft and a lot of work into just the mental aspect of the game. And, I mean, the thing is, here in 2 months, we're going to change both our lives and set us up for, you know, great opportunities. And I'm excited to see where he goes. And, you know, that'd be pretty cool to play next to him one more time. But,
could you imagine that? How fun that will be. And like you said, it's life changing. It really is. And that's a great segue. I appreciate you throwing that alley-oop to me. And looking at what was next. And for you, you know, that was a Senior Bowl and you dominated. You know, and I was so excited when I saw that you were playing in that, because I said, okay, here we go. You know, all eyes on FSU, all eyes on Fisk, because it is such a highly touted event. And then the combine, I'm like, hey, look, I don't know what this guy's about to run, but I see the tape. I see the explosive nature. I see the motor. I think we're going to be impressed. I did not think that we would see a 4.7. Okay, big man. I did not think that we would see that. I didn't think we'd see a 33.5-inch vertical. You went and did it. Walk me through that, because that's kind of, to me, that's also kind of like the ACC championship game where you're just dominating. I mean, you're having the best day as a defensive tackle. Did you expect that? Because you're running your sprint. You say, oh, yeah, right at the end. I'm like, this guy's a monster.
You know, I think even from, because I'm training down here at Bob Marito, so me and Pete, the owner, we talk from the day one when I got here, I was like, listen, Pete, like, I'm going to run a 4.7. I told him earlier, like, I'm speaking into existence. I'm like, it's going to happen. And, you know, Pete, he's one of those guys. He doesn't like to look into the future. No, just trust the process, trust the process. And as we're getting closer, like one of our mock combines, one of our pretests, I hit a 4.7. He was like, okay. Like, he was trying to, like, beat around the bush, like, the wind, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, nah, like, we're going to run that 4.7. And, but even this, the whole combine in general, like, I knew I was going to have strong testing numbers. I mean, a lot of people out there with narratives are always not very athletic. I was like, shit, okay, like, this way, buddy. Like,
ooh.
Yeah, all right, like, you're about to see here in about 20 minutes. But it was, I knew going into it, I was ready to attack it. You know, I wanted to prove that I was the best athlete out there. And everyone out there is great players, but I wanted to set myself apart. And, you know, and I think that was part of the whole pre-draft process. I just wanted to set myself apart because I know I'm a different player out there. And just the way I attack this, the way I treat it, like, there's no reason I, you know, can't be the best out there. I was very confident in my abilities and just went and got after it, you know?
Right. And you did that. And I think it's the way you prepare. It's the way you train. I mean, time and time again throughout just our conversation here, you know, you've talked about your process and the things that you do to set yourself apart. Is it a little weird? Is it a little interesting right now? Because this is probably a 5-month window where it's so different than anything in your life, because before, everything is all about the team, all about winning, all about everybody else. After this, it's going to be all about the team, all about winning the ultimate goal. But right now, it's just you. It's all about you, and you have to do what's best. You have to put yourself in that situation. How is that kind of from a mindset standpoint, you know, right now where you do have, you have to be selfish and to get what you want?
I could tell from like the first week of, because it was weird going from being a team to being your own team. Like it's solo mission now. And I saw the way I see it now is, I mean, this is where you set yourself apart, because it's hard mentally, because now you don't have a coach or a trainer on your back to get your treatment or to you know, get your protein shake in, to get your vitamins, all these little things, to get your sleep. Now it's on your own. It's a choice. So I saw it as an opportunity. This is where I'm going to set myself apart, because, you know, I can see it. I mean, I've seen it every step of the way in this short process of guys just aren't built for this, you know, mentally. Like, they struggle with it because they're on their own. Yeah. Like, instead of getting to sleep, I'm going to stay up and go out, whatever it may be. Like, I saw this. I was like, this is where I'm going to make a difference, because, you know, I can lock this in for 2.5 months and, you know, change my life. While, I mean, just watching my peers, I'm like, you ain't ready for this. Like, and that probably comes with me doing six. That probably comes with me doing 6 years of college ball and being 24, and I have my fun in college, but like, you know, but I just was like, no, this process, I'm going to lock this in, I'm going to dial it in, and that's what I think. That's been the biggest thing of where I've been able to set myself apart. Even like the long days at the Senior Bowl, the long days at the combine, you can see guys getting tired. You can see guys, you know, skipping this, skipping that, just because I don't want to do that. I'm just like, nah, like you can dial this in for this week, you know, dial this in for like. You make a difference. And I think that's been the biggest. If you go out there and put all the numbers you want, but I think mentally is the where I've been able to set myself apart, is just fighting through the tough days, fighting through, just being consistent and not swaying off the path.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man. What a great mindset. And I think it also equates to everything you just said is, you know, the combine is not just that one day that people see on TV of you running and doing all these different things. Yeah. What was the rest of that week like? I mean, don't give away, you know, all the trade secrets here, but you know, it's medical evaluation, it's interviews, it's all these things. So how was that piece of it for you?
Yeah, I mean, like I kind of talked about, it's a big mental. I think the combine is more of a mental test than a physical test, because, I mean, you're there for 3 days before you even test. And that's a combination of staying up late, doing a bunch of interviews at night, going through, you know, every team you can think of. They're asking you every question. You're doing football, IQ stuff. You're doing mental tests, like whatever it may be. And then you got the long days of medical. I mean, I'll tell you, I was at the hospital from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, you go through all your doctor evaluations. You go through, you know, every inch of your body, what's wrong with you. They want to get more medical. I mean, they kind of just beat you down and just build you back up on Thursday. And then, I mean, it's just like it's a slow dipping process of, you know, you come in on Monday to dip all the way down to get back up on Thursday. Right. I mean, it's definitely more of a mental preparation than anything. And I think that's where I think everybody was like, damn, like, this is a lot different than what you expect. Right. And I mean, you hear about it, it's easier. I mean, everyone talks about, oh, like it sucks. But you get through, like, okay, this is what the combine is. This is not what I thought it was going to be.
This actually sucks. Yeah, this is terrible.
Right. You know? Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. That's amazing. What was it? Was there any weird stuff? Were they, and don't tell me any teams or anything, but was there any weird question or did they ask you to do anything that was silly, you know, while you're in this interview process?
Nah, for me, it was not really nothing too crazy. I mean, the one question I get
really
is like, what is something you would change about yourself? And I tell them, like, my arm length, because that's all you guys want to talk about. But, you know, I get so tired of that crowd. But, I mean, yeah, nothing too wild, but I just.
Yeah. That's sad, man. You know, it's funny. This is our, you know, our third or fourth conversation here with different guys that are at the combine. And that's what everybody's saying. So I don't know if it was like an initiative by the NFL to dial some stuff back or what, man. I've been sad. We haven't had anything funny.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They're checking the box.
Is what it is. That's right. It is what it is. Well, what's next, man? Or Pro Day, obviously you had such a successful thing. Are you doing anything at Pro Day? You know, and then draft, like what is that going to look like? Are you guys having a big get together family type deal? What's next for you, man?
So for the next, my Pro Day is March 22nd. It'll be a Friday. I'm going to stay down here in Miami to finish up training, just preparation until that day. And then, hit Pro Day, and then I'll probably stay down in Tallahassee just to finish up, you know, preparation and, head home for I'm from Michigan City, Indiana. So I'll probably head home for the week of the draft. And then, I'll probably have a good get together, have a lot of people. I got a ton of support back there. I mean, from every level of, you know, Pop Warner, high school, college. I mean, I got a ton of friends and family that want to be there. So probably throw a little draft party or something. I think it'd be a cool experience for everybody.
No doubt, man. Well, this was awesome, brother. I appreciate your time. Very excited for what's next for you. And I think it's going to be coming pretty early, man. So keep that phone ready. Keep it ready and keep it charged.
No doubt. No, thank you. This is awesome. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, guys, man, so much to unpack from right there. Really enjoyed our time with Braden. Big shout out to him for making some time for us. He's a busy man. He's flying all over the place, meeting with these teams and going through the different things. When I was looking up and doing a little research, I have it pulled up over here on just the measurables, people's thoughts, you know, things of that nature. And I see here at NFL.com, defensive tackle with below average mass and length. Here's the deal. This guy's 6'4". 292. I don't know what's average about that. You know, I get the arm length thing, and he even talked about it. He's pissed about that because that's a real thing. But that is a huge human being, okay? I mean, that is a freaky guy that probably could put on a little more mass if he wants to, but there's nothing about below average that, okay? And then on top of all of it, he goes out there and runs a 4.7. What are we talking about? This guy is freaky. He has a crazy motor. We showed it to you all year long on ACC Network, the things that he was able to do. And again, specific, if you want to watch any tape of a defensive tackle and be like, my gosh, this guy has it all, go watch the Louisville game, ACC Championship. It was freaky, the things that he was able to do. And quite frankly, I think that's what his career is going to look like. He is a twitchy guy that has a very good sense for how to beat you. Use your strengths to as weaknesses, turn them into weaknesses. Against you, if you overset, he's going inside. If you try to use heavy hands, he's breaking them down and getting by you. He just moves really well for an interior guy. He's not a defensive end. He's an interior guy that can really make some things happen. So I think he easily goes day two. I will be ecstatic, not shocked, if he ends up at the back of the first round, you know, kind of in the kind of 26 through 32, somewhere in there. I think he deserves it, the things that he's able to do. Now it's all about pro day. You know, I talked to him a little bit off cam, the things he's going to do there. He's excited, going to do all the drills, meet with the teams, things of that nature. And I think he's only going to make continuous impressions there, the things that he can do. So my pick, if I had a choice, I'm going to the Colts, baby. I would love for them to pick him up. Coach P, you know, who was at Pittsburgh, the Panthers there, is now in the NFL. He's with the Colts, buddy. Let him get some of that. It'll be blouses, okay? That defensive line will be disgusting. Will be really fun to see if they can get it done. But that's it from us, guys. We are going to continue to have these for a couple weeks here. I'm really excited for all these different conversations that we have with guys. Graham Barton is on Wednesday. You guys are going to love that. We're staying in the interior, baby. We're keeping it with the big guys for at least this week and a really fun conversation, so you won't want to miss that. Continuously need your help and appreciate you guys going over to YouTube, subscribing to the channel, leave some comments. Tell me where you think Braden Fisk is going to go. Tell me if you have any concerns about him going this high. I don't think he can go high enough, quite frankly, with the things that he's going to bring to a team. And of course, the OGs over on Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe there as well. We will greatly appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.